Hurricane, now tropical storm Hermine, is making its way up the East Coast. Her punch in Florida less than feared, although Governor Rick Scott says Hermine left at least one death in that state, a homeless man in Marion County who died when a tree fell on him. Trees also took out power in Tallahassee, caused flooding in Tampa and St. Pete. Moving on, thousands in Georgia are without power, and the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina, which saw that terrible flooding a year ago, is telling residents to hunker down. So what can the East Coast expect this holiday weekend? Carl Parker is a hurricane specialist for the Weather Channel. Carl, what do you think Hermine's path's going to be?
Well, Hermine is going to be moving along the coast of the Carolinas over the next couple of days. It's probably going to be near the Outer Banks and the Sounds early on Saturday morning. And so what it's going to do is bring a fair amount of wind, not a tremendous amount of wind, but a fair amount, and an onshore flow that is going to raise the surf and also bring some beach erosion to parts of the coastal Carolinas. And it's also going to be interacting with the front, which means we're going to see a lot of very heavy rain in the eastern part of the Carolinas through the next couple of days. And that could certainly be enough to cause some flooding.
We'll talk for a second about that front, Carl. Is that big H that we see on the map?
It certainly is. And, you know, what's interesting is that there's another high that's building in across the eastern part of Canada. And what that high is going to do is act as a blocking mechanism. And this feature is actually going to keep the storm from moving any farther to the northeast through most of this week. And so what it will do is move up and along the mid-Atlantic coast and then along the northeast coast very, very slowly, starting early next week and then continuing through the week. And it may begin to take on some non-tropical characteristics, which is to say it's going to be fueled by the contrast in temperature between the warmth coming up from the south and cooler air coming down from the north. But the practical effects are going to be similar to that of a tropical system in that we are going to see very persistent wind driving into the coast and a lot of beach erosion, very high surf, and coastal flooding. Those are all going to be concerns along the mid-Atlantic coast and the northeast coast going through the weekend beyond.
Well, what else are we going to see, though? Because I heard a very chilling thing this morning. A meteorologist on CNN was asked about that big H, you know, that stalled front, which in effect will be holding Hermine sort of in place over the region, New York, Baltimore, that area. But he was asked, wait a second, that's the same big H that years ago was the weather system that turned back Sandy.
Yes.
And turned her back into the New York, New Jersey area and caused that disastrous flooding there. Do you have any models showing that?
Well, you know, the big thing that's different between this storm and Sandy is that we don't think it's going to be anywhere near as large and powerful as Sandy was. Now, there is some concern that the storm could be closer to the coast and that would magnify all of the effects, but it's also possible that it could be farther offshore. One really important thing is that we are, in fact, seeing a similar pattern to the upper air pattern that occurred with Sandy, and that is a big blocking ridge of high pressure that I mentioned earlier. And we're seeing an increase in this type of phenomenon in recent years. I've got a colleague who's come up with something called the Ridge Anomaly Index, and that measures the strength of high pressure ridges relative to average. And the trend line for these ridges, these anomalous ridges, is actually coming up much the way the temperature is. So it appears to be related to climate change. And when we see more of these blocking highs, we're going to tend to also see more systems slowing down or stalling. So this is a phenomenon that we're probably going to see more of in the future.
Hmm. So watch out for those big H's on the weather maps, those blocking ridges of air that are holding storms in place or, you know, turning them back. And hopefully that won't happen. Carl Parker, one last question. We always raise this. You know, this is prime riptide weather as well, right?
Yes, it certainly is. And that's always a concern, especially when you've got these waves that are coming on shore, but you've also got a little bit of sunshine. So people actually do go to the beach. And that's possible if the storm's a little farther offshore. It may be that we see larger waves. But the rip current threat is actually greatest when the waves are only at about 1 to 3 feet. And rip currents are one of the leading weather killers. Right. There are something like 30,000 rescues every year. And if there's one thing that we could tell people, it would be that if you you do get caught in one of these rip currents, it's a current that's basically driving away from the shore. What you want to do, and it's a very hard thing to do, it's very much like don't slam on the brakes when you're, you know, sliding in the snow or something like that.
Right.
Try not to panic and allow it to take you out, because eventually that energy will dissipate and you will be able to then make your way sort of parallel to the shore and come back in.
Don't fight it, because it's your energy that dissipates when you
do that. Exactly right, yes.
And when the red flag's out saying rip, just don't go in. Carl Parker, hurricane specialist for the Weather Channel, thank you so much.
Thank you.